Hour number four of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, and Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, we finally have a football game to talk about between the Titans and Bills. What's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing well. This Tuesday football. I'm expecting by December we'll have Wednesday football, Thursday football, Friday football. Let's keep pushing the games out to do anything we can to move it along without moving that Super Bowl date.
And that messes with Maction. I don't want to mess with Maction.
Maction, yeah. Look, man, I just want to get through the season. So whatever they have to do, it's fine. We have triple header Wednesday. I mean, whatever. Let's just keep... No, like late February Super Bowl. Okay, like, let's not kick this that far out.
Charles, what have you made of the journey it's been for the Titans to get to this point? And now that we're here, and football is taking place tonight between the Titans and Bills, what do you think about the matchup?
Well, you know, in terms of the journey, this has been rough. You know, I think that, you know, just talking to people in the building, there's a lot of frustration. People not actually in the building, and I think that's part of. You know, until recently, I think, you know, that's been part of the frustration, just because you had a lot of people who, because it's in the nature of not being in the building, the nature of so many parts of the organization being chopped up between different Zoom calls, things like that. You had people who were out of the loop on certain things, didn't know what was going on. They're reading, you know, updates and media reports that they're not getting from, you know, anyone within the team. And you know, I think it stinks to sort of be on an island. And so I think everyone's sort of relieved to move on, get things back together. I think they would like to figure out why, you know, some of this stuff happened. And obviously this league investigation and the league and NFLPA investigation sort of hanging over their heads, going to be worse than I thought it was. You know, I think there is going to be some, I think I told you guys last week, I thought maybe they'd get off with a slap on the wrist. After having some conversation subsequent to that, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think there is going to be, you know, a price to pay at some point. But as you said, you know, now we're on to football. And frankly, to me, this would have been, you know, whether it was tonight or whether it would have happened on Sunday or whenever, you know, this is a huge litmus test, I think, obviously, for the Titans. Because the reality is, you know, Buffalo is a team that – it was interesting because when Cam Newton had the COVID positive, some people were like, you know, I had some people say, well, what do you, you know, man, this really gives Buffalo the opportunity to grab the division. I don't think Buffalo cared. I think Buffalo is to the point now where, you know, Sean McDermott, they've ascended to a level and Josh Allen has ascended to a level where they feel like, hey, we can command games. We can win games defensively. We have the development at quarterback to now take over, you know, this division. So, you know, being how close the games were for the Titans, you know, in the undefeated start, and then obviously everything that's happened, it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds and then also how they step up against what is a Bills team that I'm telling you is absolutely 100% legit. Like this, if you're going to – this is a playoff preview. You know, if both of these teams are cracked up to what the start has been, this is a team that you should see in the postseason.
So, Charles, I want to go back to what you just said about the investigation. There's going to be a price to pay, and I know you don't know exactly what that is or exactly the timeline here, but do you have a feel for the severity? I mean, obviously we've talked about a fine, of course, some kind of draft impact. I mean, I know some people around the league are throwing out, you know, fire everyone, suspend everyone, end their season, stuff like that. But how severe do you believe this will be?
Well, so I think it's going to come down to what can be proven, you know, because I can tell you that in some of the interviews, some wild stuff has kind of come up. And so, for example, look, the mask stuff, and I know John Robinson, you know, this was something he addressed. I mean, he didn't have a choice because when Roger Goodell had his call with the teams, I had a chance to talk to a couple of GMs, and they were like, man, Roger was talking about the Titans. Like, you know, yeah, the Raiders were part of it. There were other, you know, franchises where, you know, he took jabs at coaches, things like that. But, you know, there were, you know, photos. Like, they had, like, one guy called it sort of a slideshow. And he was like, you know, you could see it was like the Titans inside their facility. And, you know, they kind of felt like, when I talked to these general managers, they agreed that it felt like a very pointed call about the Titans. And, you know, then the subsequent, like, hey, if we have to change the schedule again, if we have to keep doing this, there's going to be, you know, extremely severe, an extremely severe punishment. The feeling there was that, you know, look, they're talking directly to the Titans right now. And the thing that I thought was interesting was these general managers were like, I mean, there was no fraternal love, you know, with John Robinson and the Titans. They were like, no, they should get hit. Like, if there's stuff that's found, these guys should get hammered. And it's like other teams have no sympathy right now. And so the league office is going to get support from other ownership groups that if some things are found that are really egregious, the Titans should get slammed. So I'll give you one example here. And I'm only bringing this up because Ryan Tannehill kind of touched on it. So I feel like I can speak to this a little bit. You know, they go through, they talk to all the players, they talk to all these different individuals in the organization, pretty vast, okay? And I was told that one of the things came up was, you know, when players are talking to each other, and I don't think this is unusual. I think this is within other franchises too. Part of the process that nobody likes about the whole COVID protocols is the swabbing. They don't like it. They don't like getting a swab jammed down their nose, like all these different things. So, of course, what happens when you're going through the process, pretty soon you figure out who's light on the swabbing, like who's not killing your brain with this thing, you know. And if you don't like that, players end up talking to each other about like, hey, you know, so and so, not, you know, that's it's a cakewalk, you know, with so and so. And so I know, you know, Ryan kind of came out and said, and I'm paraphrasing here, sort of like, why are there like people who are getting negative test results despite having, you know, symptoms? And then, hey, all of a sudden they turn up positive later. Well, I'm going to tell you right now why. Because your system of protocols is only as good as your line of defense, which is the person who's doing the swabbing. So if you have some individuals who are doing swabbing who are not being as effective as they need to be, there are going to be times where you return false negatives. Somebody may be positive, and the swabbing is just simply not where it needs to be to make sure they get the proper sample. What the league and the NFLPA do not want to hear from players or anybody else is that they, you know, people are swapping information on like, hey, if you don't want to, you know, if you want an easy swabbing, go to so-and-so. Like, if that's something that was prevalent, you know, and that's something that really became a big issue inside the Titans, you know, that's something the league's going to be pretty pissed about. That's something that the NFLPA is not going to be happy about. So I also think there's an element here as well of, it'll be interesting to see if the investigation itself leans a little bit on who is doing the testing and saying like, hey, are you doing this the way you should be? And, you know, maybe we need to put a little more pressure on, you know, the point of care, you know, who's making sure they're getting the proper samples and whatnot. So that's just one thing. When I heard Tannehill say that, I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of heard some stuff where, you know, in these interviews, some people may have said, hey, yeah, so-and-so, you know, it was known that this person was the least evasive person to go through to sort of get your nasal swab. Not great. Like, that's not great. That shouldn't be happening. Like, players should not be talking to each other about that stuff. Nobody in the building should really be trying to duck, you know, what is a level of discomfort with these swabs, because guess what? Those are for you. Those are to protect you. They're protect the team. And obviously, you know, all that goes with this. So that's just one thing that I think if you want to talk about, hey, do they get really paddled down the line? It depends how maybe prevalent some of this stuff was and whether they find that egregious enough to say, hey, this wasn't just some people in the facility not wearing their mask.
So do you think this ends up being, for the league, some kind of a positive turning point? And I guess I'm talking both in terms of protocols, which obviously have been strengthened in some cases, and then also just compliance and teams being more diligent. And do you think there's any way the NFL, which we have seen here, they are committed to not having that week 18 as long as they can go, do you think they have a chance to actually pull that off?
The first question about whether it's a positive, yeah, I do. I think it's a positive because I think when you talk to, you know, you talk to other teams, I mean, it was funny because when this all got together at the in the preseason, the first talks, it was like everybody had. When you talk to people in facilities, it was like, what are the speeches? What are the soapbox moments? It was all, don't screw up. Don't be the Marlins. Don't be like, it was all the baseball stuff. Don't da da da. And they like went through all that. And I think everybody in the league knew, no way is this going to be perfect. There's way too many people involved in this. There's the lack of a bubble, like all this stuff is absolutely not going to get pulled off to perfection. It's just sort of how deep into the season do we get before there's a really significant problem. I would say the Titans far and away were the significant problem. Now the plus side was it could have been worse. Like it could have hit the Vikings. That would have been a disaster had coming out of that game, the Vikings had a run of positives. And then all of a sudden some of this grounds to a halt. So not great for the Titans organization, but I think for everybody else, all these other general managers were like, yo, this is, they're telling their players, like, look at this. Like they're telling their executives, they're telling their personnel people, now you understand why we're going through the things we're going through. And so I think just from an example standpoint, it's good for the NFL. It also, I think, is teaching the NFL right now and the NFLPA, like, hey, here's now what you have to think about. Like, here are the weak spots and and when you tell people don't go out and practice and don't do this and don't do that, don't show up, don't congregate when we tell you to stay out of the facility, we have to be a little more adamant about this and make sure that message is getting across to everybody. So, just from the standpoint of negative feedback, that's going to serve everybody else. I'm sorry, that was really long-winded. What was the second question, Joe?
That's okay. Yeah, just the idea of this week 18. Still, the NFL is doing everything they can right now to avoid.
I mean, come on. We got November, we got December, we got the rest of, Thanksgiving. Like, there's all these, when I ask teams, like, okay, project this out, what are you worried about now? They're like, man, okay, the holidays. Like, people are just going to start to get together for the holidays. You're going to be around different family members. We can't really tell people, hey, don't entertain and don't spend time with your loved ones. And, so there's all this time still left for this to happen. And there's only so much, I've heard people sort of say schedule Jenga before it all falls over. And there's definitely some truth to that. And at the end of the day, the league, they blocked off February, all the hotel reservations and those blocks for a reason, because they knew, look, there's a chance that we're going to have to push this out. Now, they don't want to do it because, it's a nightmare in terms of television, the things you have to shuffle. It's a nightmare in terms of, like, the events that get set up around the Super Bowl, sponsorship-type stuff. It's really in the minutiae, I've been told, that becomes all the problem, the reason why you can't really untangle this. And, oh, by the way, it also pushes your off season. You start to, the combine and all these other things now start to get adjusted, and they just want to avoid the ripple if they can. We'll see. I personally, there's no way in heck that I think that there's not at least a week, an additional week pause at some point. And now again, the owners are all talking today, they're on a call today. And I think you're going to hear them say, we want to do everything we can to avoid this, which they should, until you're put up against it, you don't surrender it. Like, I've seen people say, well, we should just schedule in a pause right now. No, you don't schedule it in now because you're going to need it. If you schedule it in now, what happens in December when, there's a wreck and there's, three teams that all of a sudden now, you're pressing late and there's no buys left to screw with and there's no all, so you don't do it now. Let it happen. Deal with it on the fly, learn as you go. And, this is how they're going to survive. Like, this is so fluid and they're learning as they go that, I mean, it's crazy to think there's more that they're going to figure out, but I'm telling you right now, the Titans situation taught them a lot. Like, there were a lot of things they never thought in their mind that they would have to deal with, from a scheduling standpoint, from a, handling team standpoint, from, constantly harping on general managers and coaches and having these calls and ownership groups about, making sure, you don't screw these things up. And like I said, they're still learning as we go. We're going to have, I guarantee you on this call, there will be a time in November, December where we're like, oh man, like this is that. We never thought, you know, never even considered that. But that's how this year is going to go. And I'll tell you, if the Titans win the Super Bowl this year, and I say this about anybody, whoever wins the Super Bowl this year, this is it. Like, this is the greatest one. I don't care what anybody says. You can go back and talk about the Dolphins' perfect season and all this stuff in history. This is just a total crap show. And whoever pulls it off this year, it's going to be more special than I think anything else, just because it's like trying to jam, you know, three different seasons into one with all the different things you got to deal with. And, oh, by the way, all the stuff that's happening outside of teams politically and socially and everything else.
So a good asterisk. Yes.
Yeah,
good
no,
asterisk.
I think, I absolutely believe that. I think people are like, oh, the coat, you know, you're going to win the COVID. So, yeah, I think that's actually the greatest. Like, that's, to me, it's the complete opposite of the, you know, people are like, oh, the, you know, LeBron, they win in the bubble and this. And I'm like, yeah, well, guess what? The NFL did it the opposite way. They did it the hardest possible way. And if they actually pull this off, whoever wins this is really, really, I think it's one that we'll remember forever.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff, man, as always. We appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Stay safe, all right?
Absolutely. You as well. Goodbye. Great stuff there from Charles, including some kind of behind-the-scenes info there of what GMs and other execs around the leagues are saying about the Titans. We'll continue to unravel that all week long as the investigation from the NFL still ongoing. Who knows when that concludes and when news comes out from it, but certainly some good stuff there from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, who joins us every week here on Tuesday on Robbie and Rex Road at 9 o'clock. When we come back, the other Robinson, John Robinson, spoke yesterday about the response the league has had to the outbreak from the Titans. We'll hear a little bit about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John, you talked about the frustration, but I know you're a proud guy who cares about this organization deeply. How much does it bother you when someone questions your integrity?
That's a good question, Corey. I think people that know me around the league and that I have respect for, they know that we try to do things the right way. As I said earlier, there's three things that I care about. The good Lord above, my family, and this football team. And that's it. I don't really care about anything else. I can't golf. I'm not patient enough to fish. I love football, my family, and doing things the right way. And I feel like that's what I have tried to do. I feel like that's what I've done. I feel like that's what we've done. And that's the type of guy I am.
That was Titans general manager John Robinson yesterday on his Zoom call with the media, talking about the league and the reaction that has gotten both him and the Titans in hot water. And we heard Joe from the last segment, Charles Robinson, talking about the reaction around the league. Not been a positive one for the Titans, not been a positive one with some other general managers and executives across the league. You heard kind of some emotion there, some intensity come out from John Robinson when it comes to questioning his integrity and questioning the way he's gone about handling this situation. I think there was a little bit of messaging there for the league in terms of John Robinson's response to that.
Yeah, see, this is a great case for the two things being true. Because, you know, Corey, it's a good question about John Robinson's integrity being questioned. I guess to me, I haven't exactly looked at it quite that way. Like, I've never thought, you know, John Robinson decided to try to skirt the rules and, you know, set up some flimsy protocols, right? And hey, let's just, you know, whatever. There's no way. And to me, you can still, you know, be in violation and you can still be on the receiving end of punishment and not have any sort of integrity issue at the top of your organization, right? But I mean, I'm not ripping Corey's question. I just think it's a little extreme. You know, I haven't. Now, granted, some of the reaction out there has also been extreme. We've talked about Doug Farrar last week, you know, but even he was talking about the players, right? I mean, he was talking about the players basically defying the communication to not gather and gathering Is that John Robinson? I mean, I guess you could always take it to John Robinson. Hey, guys, make sure you go out there to Brentwood Academy and gather and pass it around. Hey, Tannehill, call him and give him your name, too. So it'll be really secretive. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff
really
here.
Easy to transit. Yeah. Trace it back to you, buddy.
So I think that's a little bit extreme. The Titans clearly, as an organization, have wanted to do this the right way. And if there's people in there, in that building, who either just haven't cared as much or don't believe it or whatever the case may be, the players, we've talked about that week, the Steelers are practicing. I get the idea of we got to go out and try to stay sharp, thinking they were playing against a team that was practicing. And we still don't have all the clarity on what the communication was. But that was interesting with Charles on the punishment. What we don't know still is, you know, he's talking to a lot of people around the league. The league has leaked some things that led you to believe they're going to do something here. But interesting point on, you know, what can be proven.
Right.
And what specifically was done wrong. And some things can be done wrong there with absolutely nothing to do with John Robinson, right?
You would think. I mean, there's just too many people in the building, right? You can't, like, one guy. I mean, you got players in the meeting room not wearing a mask all the time. Like, what does that have to do with John Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, you want – I mean, we had, you know, Dennis Kelly. We've heard the stories about him yelling at guys for the mask and things like that. And John Robinson did a little demonstration with the mask yesterday on that. You know, he's like, when I've been down there, you know, guy's been pretty good. When I've been down there, he's not down there all the time. There's a lot of people in the buildings at different times and normal times. And, look, I think some of this is the NFL figuring out that they've had some things that they had to make better and stronger. And so that's not stuff the Titans should be punished for. And there's mixed messages out there, too. We talked about Mike Florio earlier. So he talked to somebody who thought they were going to just get hammered or wanted them to get hammered, and now it's like maybe it won't be so bad. I think we're going to move on to football and, you know, this team continuing with its season. At some point we'll get that word from the NFL. I will be interested to see if they give us details on that. I suspect they won't. I don't think the league's going to come out with an itemized, we said this, then we sent this email, we talked to whoever, then they told the players and they ignored it, or they didn't tell the players well enough, they only emailed the players, they didn't tell the players. I don't think we'll get the itemized breakdown on that. We'll just see what the punishment is, and we'll have to probably guess from there. But I don't think it's going to be super dramatic, and that's just me speculating. But I think there is definitely a reason to, one, make an example of a team. They've already been an example made out of them. That's happened. And then to still make it to where, look, there's a consequence, so everybody keep tight with this. Even you teams that are bad later in the season, you got to do the right things. But also not scorched earth, where you're really impacting the future of a franchise.
And John Robinson was also asked yesterday just about the frustration in general that you can sense from a league-wide perspective. Here's what he had to say about that.
Well, we haven't had any punishments yet, but it has been frustrating. And I've tried. I haven't looked at all the stuff that's out there. I'm sure it's probably not nice. That's not a world I try to live in. I try to stay focused on, like I said, this football team and making sure that we try to get better and we keep everybody safe. And it's been a challenge. I mean, it really is a challenge to work through with, you know, myself and Coach Vrabel, and, you know, looking at that phone at 3:30 in the morning, hadn't been a lot of sleep had, and then working through it as we get the information and working with the league and the PA we've been extremely transparent with both groups, with our situation as they try to piece things together so that we can put some things in place that this doesn't happen again.
So that's John Robinson talking about kind of the frustration around the league, saying, you know, I don't really look at that. I don't really dive into that world. But certainly, like, if you're the Titans and you're John Robinson, you have to be aware of the reaction around the league at this point. Like, it's got to be something that you've thought about.
Well, I took that partially as the social media world, too. Certainly not – I mean, that's where a lot of it takes place. That's where a lot of this discussion takes place. But that was one interesting thing that Charles said, too. And, again, this doesn't necessarily relate to what the NFL is going to do. But I think that there's still input taken from around the league by the NFL. And the fact that he said basically, like, there's no fraternal feeling, you know. Now, is that across the board? There's got to be a couple buddies in this league that John has. It'd be like, sorry,
somebody's
man.
Still on his side, right?
I mean, to be fair, there have been. I mean, Albert Breer had a really good quote. I mean, Mike Sando had a really good quote for us too from a GM who was like, "Look, like this is also a nightmare for everyone, and we don't know everything." So there's some level-headed reaction from other GMs out there, but still, that's interesting. There's a lot who are just like, nail them, because, you know, and I think it's one, the perception that they knowingly did something wrong, and two, just the disruption and the fact that if you're the only team that has this big of an outbreak, people are naturally going to say, why? What'd you do? Even if you didn't, even if wrongdoing actually wasn't a part of it.
Let's go back quickly to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, with regards to J. Rob's call, if the health and safety of the team was his top priority, enforcement of protocols would also be top priority. Total lip service.
Okay. I mean, look, I understand the sentiment, but what he pointed out was what they set up in the building, which they did. The extra buses, things like that. He talked about some stuff they did above and beyond. I mean, the question is, how can you enforce that if individuals don't care? Like, if two players are in a hallway and they just, neither of them are worried about the virus, and it's like, I don't care. I'm not worried about it. And they are slacking off. Can you have someone at all hours, buzzing around them like a bee saying, put your mask? I mean, it's also some personal responsibility with every single person in that building, right? And that's where I think, like, the whole question of John Robinson's integrity. I'm not saying that you can skirt responsibility because everyone is an adult and needs to be responsible. And there is some level of it has to go to the top. And that's where they're going to get punished. They're going to get punished as an organization, either financially or draft pick, likely, or both. But there is also, like, everyone here is an adult, and you cannot watch them at all hours.
No. I mean, it would just be impossible at that point. But certainly, hopefully through this, like you said with Charles, Joe, hopefully this is a positive turning point, not only for the Titans, but for the league as a whole, and we can help mitigate this as much as humanly possible as we move forward here. So hoping that's the case, not only for the Titans, but league-wide as we move forward. When we come back, we'll continue to look ahead at the Titans and Bills game tonight, officially on schedule, and will be played. Also, continue to get your reaction as well, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next, but first, I got a word from FanDuel. In Tennessee, sports betting, it's almost here. And FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's right, $50 in free site credit just to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy as can be to find the bets that you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike other sportsbook, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours because that's the right thing to do. So what you need to do right now, go download that FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out the fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure when you sign up, use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee to participate. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789.
John, I guess what's the challenge been like of putting together a game day roster, taking in COVID availability questions, practice squad availability questions, and how is that looking for tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Jim, that has been a challenge. I think that's one of the reasons for, the expanded practice squad roster. Tell those guys all the time, and we have told them, you never know when your number is going to be called. But certainly, in this environment of pro football with what we're dealing with, those guys have got to stay ready. They've got to stay vigilant. And we're trying to clear some of those guys. We've been able to clear a couple guys who had tested early on to come back. And we'll see kind of how it goes tomorrow with roster moves that we've got to make to get 48 guys out there.
That was John Robinson on the challenge of putting a roster together for the game against the Bills. And now, Joe, that we know the game officially happening between the Bills, going to be interested today to see around 3 o'clock what the active and inactive list looks like for the Titans. You said earlier on the show that's about when the Titans are going to release that today. So maybe they get some guys back off the COVID list. We saw that a couple days ago with Daquan Jones and Bo Brinkley coming off the list. Maybe it's possible that more guys come off the list today and you're able to get that done and maybe have some more depth there. But regardless, you're not going to have, I think, anywhere close to your full roster available to you. And that's going to be a challenge tonight against a team in Buffalo that's played really well all season long, especially offensively, but also has some guys questionable in their lineup that may not be ready to go as well. So maybe the Titans catch a break there too.
Right. And so if you went by dates, because Bo Brinkley and Daquan Jones have been activated from the COVID reserve list, Kamaleh Correa would be next. He was the next day. The next day after that was Christian Fulton. The next day after that was Adam Humphries and Cameron Batson. I wouldn't go any beyond that. You know, the next day after that, which was October 3rd, so 10 days ago, is Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, you could, as a Titans fan, sit here and hope that Jeffrey Simmons, if he was asymptomatic, you know, then in theory it could be technically possible. But then there's also the whole ramp-up situation that we've talked about a lot, that Mike Vrabel has talked about, cardiac testing, on-field stuff to get ready and things like that. And I would think for a big guy, if he was just activated today, you know, I would think that'd be zero chance. So I think four names that you look at today: Correa, Fulton, Humphries, Batson, as at least some level of possibility. And you know, if I still would say, if you're, I guess the question on that is, like, if you're activated today, there is no, the ramp up period is a game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the guys who were activated yesterday, they did something. You know, so I don't know what I would. I guess I would assume they would err on the side of caution there, and none of them would play. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, we don't know if anybody's going to come off the list later today, just leaving that open for possibility. But regardless, on both sides of the ball, the Titans are at least somewhat going to be shorthanded. Now, the good news is A.J. Brown looks like he'll be in there tonight. Taylor Lewan as well. Paul Kaharsky reporting that earlier. So good news on the Titans front from there. But we know we're not going to have Adoree Jackson in this game tonight. We'll see about Christian Fulton, and Jeffrey Simmons is not going to play tonight either for the Titans, unless, you know, just something happens that I just can't foresee. But
can't imagine.
Yeah, like I can't imagine he's in there tonight. So you're going to be shorthanded for the Titans against the Bills. I look at the line. We had a texter point this out earlier on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Line is only 3.5 for the Bills, and I realize it's the NFL, and teams are even. You got two undefeated teams here. I think a really good matchup between the Titans and the Bills. I am surprised, I'll be honest, given the way that this saga has unfolded, no practice hardly at all for the Titans, that the line is only 3.5. I thought it would be closer to 5.5, 6 points for the Bills heading into this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, of course, they have their own issues, starting with Matt Milano not being there, kind of heart of their defense. So that hurts them, certainly. And then some uncertainty over Tre'Davious White, one of the best corners in the league, probably one of the best, I'd say, three or four cornerbacks in the NFL, and John Brown, who I think has just made a terrific pairing with Stephon Diggs for that offense. I think the two of them have just been too much for people so far, especially with Josh Allen playing the way he's been playing. So, you know, like, if I knew those guys were going, I think I would agree. It's hard to set a line on this, not knowing what is 16 days off. What does that mean for a team? Like, it means healthier guys in some cases, but then you go through all this stuff, you barely practice in that time. That's where I could see the line being inflated a little bit more from there.
So how big a game is this tonight in the grand scheme of things for the Titans? You look at the division right now, they're leading it at 3-0, Indy's at 3-2, and then, of course, Houston and Jacksonville both at 1-4. We had Floyd Reese on earlier saying, you know, keep your eye on Indy. They're still going to be right in the thick of it at the end of the year. How big of a game is this in terms of how it impacts the Titans as they go along this season? Because remember, right after this, you've got Houston at home on Sunday, which I know they're 1-4, but on a short week, Houston's given you a lot of problems in the past. I realize their team looks different now, but it's not, I think, a cakewalk to go in there and win a game against Houston. And then you've got Pittsburgh coming in right after that. How big of a game is this for the Titans in the larger view of the season as a whole?
It's big. I mean, you think about the possibility that, you know, could the Titans and, you know, Bills have the same record? I mean, obviously you're talking about this and the Steelers game, potential tiebreakers. But then in the AFC South race, I mean, if you're the Colts tonight, you're counting on the Bills. You need a little help. You know, there's no shame, I think, at this point we can see in losing at Cleveland. Cleveland is pretty good, and I think they're going to be there. But that loss at Jacksonville, such a killer if you're the Colts. And you just don't – you can't feel great about Phillip Rivers right now, but you still have to feel good about, like Floyd said, so much else of your team, like the rest of your team. Really good defense. They need some help. I mean, it's still early, but they could they need like a top team to beat the Titans right now. And if you're the Titans, I think you look at this stretch. This could be, I mean, after all this stuff, this could be a really rough stretch for them. It's this really good team tonight, then Deshaun Watson on a short week, and then here come the Steelers. So, I mean, I think if the Titans got out of that 4-2, I think they'd still feel pretty good. But if you get this win, I'm not saying this is a house money game at all, because if you want to do what the Titans want to do, this is a game you need to go to try to win. If you want to be near the top of the AFC, but in terms of the division, I think you got to get out with a game of the three here. And I know they're all home games, but home and road doesn't mean what it usually does this year in the NFL. They already have two road wins, and I still think you'd be okay going to Cincinnati at 4-2. And at that point, kind of in a normal season again.
When we come back, it's finally that time, our pigskin pick'em for the Titans and Bills game, the three of us. We'll debate that game next in that line. And I may have made up some ground this weekend in the pigskin pick'em as well. Don't want to toot my horn too much.
You could lose some tonight.
I could lose some tonight. We'll find out next. But first, make sure you're there for week 6 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks. It begins on Thursday. Make the picks of your 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win, starting every Thursday and before the college games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a tin roof gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. A game day morning. And Joe, we've been kind of waiting. It's been up in the air to see whether or not this Titans-Bills game was going to take place. We now know that it is. So we can finally, even though we typically do this on Friday, we can finally finish off our pigskin pick'em picks for the week with the Titans and the Bills.
Yeah,
and it's exciting stuff.
It is, and that early lead I had is just dissolved. It's gone.
Both of y'all were like fighting over trying to get the LSU-Missouri line on Saturday. Ended up not working out so much.
What were we thinking there?
I know, man. I should have just went with my original pick, which was Virginia Tech in North Carolina, which would have hit.
They would have hit.
And that would have been my guarantee. But
and you hit your lock, which was what again?
Clemson. Miami. Yep. You can see that one coming from miles
away. I saw me and Joe's logic was pretty, you know, on point outside of my Keyshawn Vaughn. You know, it's similar to my Keyshawn Vaughn point of, like, look, Missouri has not scored over 20 points in their first two games. So I didn't think they would just go and just put a score in, you know, points on LSU's defense. But
look, yeah. I'll be honest, LSU-Missouri was on my board. I just felt better about Clemson-Miami. That's the only reason I went that way. But I didn't think LSU-Mizzou was a crazy pick by you two. I thought it would hit. It didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't even win the game.
I'm done with you, Coach O. Done. Unless I'm betting against you.
Wow.
Sorry.
Never going back that route. I'll tell you what.
Bo Pelini, baby.
The LSU-Alabama game this year, Alabama may put up a lot of points in that game.
Wow.
That defense looks awful.
No doubt.
In LSU. So let's get it rolling. The Titans and the Bills. Bills are a 3.5-point favorite in this game. Munson, would you like to do the honors and go first? Who you got against the spread, Bills or Titans, Buffalo favored by 3.5?
I am going to, unfortunately for Titans fans, I'm going to take the Bills.
Okay.
In this one. I think it's going to be a tough road for the Titans, man. It's going to be a tough game for them to even win. And I look at this Bills team, and like Charles Robinson says, like, this Bills team is legit. And, you know, Josh Allen is finally playing to a level that we think that can win them playoff games. Look, there's two people I've always been hard on is Brian Daboll and Josh Allen. I seen Brian Daboll at Alabama. It was awful. His offense was completely awful. I felt like he pretty much stepped Jalen Hurts back when he became offensive coordinator. And so I had no faith in neither one of those two. And they proved me wrong. So I'm going to go with the Bills in this one, covering the spread. And since they're covering the spread, they're probably going to win the game.
Not probably.
They will.
Yeah, so you're giving those 3.5, and you got the Bills winning by at least 4.
Joe, who do you have?
And I'm really having a hard time with this one. I'm going to – because I really – I just feel like the Titans are going to – I mean, it's almost bizarre to talk about being, like, extra fired up because of, like, why the Titans have been taking all this crap.
Yes.
But whatever. I mean, I think they're going to be really fired up. They're playing in front of fans, and they also have all the issues of timing and just rust and the adversity and missing players. And yet, I think they're really going to rise up and play, and I think they have some advantages in this game. I still think their offense is going to have a good night. I don't know who I like to win the game. I think I might take the Bills in like a 31-30 kind of game, but I'm going to take those 3.5 points
I like
the Titans. I'm going to take the Titans, and I'll take 3.5.
Is it fair to call that a bold pick? I think so.
I think it's boldish.
Yeah, given what's happened, I think it's boldish.
Yeah.
I like it. I respect it. I'm not here for it. I'm going Bills. I'm going Bills. Look, the Titans defense – it's been a struggle, and that's with largely healthy people back there. You know, Adoree Jackson obviously not been healthy the whole year. He's still not going to be healthy tonight, and you don't have Jeffrey Simmons, and this Buffalo offense has been unbelievable so far. Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Josh Allen playing really well. I just think the offense is going to be too much. Give me the Bills. I think it's going to be like a 36-27 kind of game.
Okay.
Like, I like the Bills by a touchdown.
So – really, the outcome there is will determine who's ahead, right? Because we're tied right now in terms of overall points.
Yes.
So this game,
Munson's not that far behind either.
Yeah, Munson's right there.
He's like 2 points behind, 3 points behind.
So it's a good competition. And I hear everything you're saying. It's just one of those. I honestly won't be shocked if the Titans flat out win the game. I really won't be. But I think it's the smart pick is to not pick them to do that, if that makes sense. If anything could be more wishy-washy, let me know. But I do feel like they are going to – and some people who haven't played as well, like at Minnesota, like, you know, Kevin Byard and Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans, some of those guys, like, they need to play, and they can play better than they've been playing.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, how many fans do we think will be there tonight because of it being a Tuesday night? That's an interesting question. I wonder, like, how many Buffalo fans were planning on being at this game, and then now whether they were traveling from Buffalo or whether they live somewhere around here and have to be at work. Like, I don't know. Like, how much does that impact how many Bills fans would be in the house? Because I suspect there would have been at least a significant number of Bills fans in the house.
Yeah,
they travel pretty well.
Yeah, they're crazy enough to be there anyway.
I mean,
I'm not. They're not worried about work tomorrow
no.
if they live here. Now the travel thing, yeah, that might have screwed some people up. I would anticipate the full allotment would be there, and you're gonna find enough people who are like, yeah, I'll buy those tickets off you and go to the game. So yeah, I think right around that 8,500, 9,000 people mark. What kind of noise does that make? I don't know, but it'll still feel like a football game with people cheering on the home team. And yeah, I don't know. We thought about the Steelers game when it was on. What would that look like? It looked like that might be, and it still may be when it happens, a lot of Steelers fans. I don't know with the Bills. That will be interesting. I still think it would be, I would be surprised if it's not at least 70-75%.
Just guard your folding chairs today if you're around Nashville. Guard your folding tables, guard your folding chairs.
And all your booze.
They're typically used for destructive purposes when Bills Mafia comes into town. Just rough to watch.
Yeah.
Hilarious to watch, but rough to watch.
The one, there was one last year here, and
yeah,
I was like,
he dove off the side of the bridge and landed face
dead?
First on the sidewalk. He ended up being okay, but literally knocked himself out.
Quite a fan base.
Dedication. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, rough news for the Titans. Still might end up 3-3. Wish this game got postponed again so we win it and the Texans game. It's a challenging stretch they've got coming up.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. You could see this. Easy to see the Bills winning this game, leading into short week and Deshaun Watson and those guys have figured it out, leading into, wow, the Steelers are really good, and all of a sudden it's like everything went the other way after that start. But I think if they can get a game out of the three, they'd be doing well. I do think they will put forth as good an effort as you could expect under the circumstances tonight. So will that be enough? I don't know.
Let's go ahead and put you on the record. You've already said the Bills, the Titans are covering the spread. Did the Titans win the game?
31-30 Bills.
Okay. So I'm not quite.
So again, I'm covering my tracks, but that's sort of how it's gone with the Titans Bills the last 2 years.
At least it's 31-30 and not like 11-10, 13-12. I can't handle another one of those between the Titans and the Bills.
Like, there's no way, right? There's no way. I can't see it. I don't like either defense today.
No fan base should be subjected to that for three consecutive years. And that's what it would be.
I agree. I mean, last year was, well, 2 years ago was just horrific. And Buffalo was bad, remember? I mean, two years ago, Buffalo was bad. And the Titans, that was a really big upset loss. And now, look at how far the Bills have come in 2 years.
Josh Allen, baby.
He's on the television.
Really like this quarterback matchup a lot better than the quarterback matchup the last couple of years. I know one of them's the same guy, but he doesn't look like the same guy.
Right, and the other guy's definitely better.
Yes, there's no question about it. Well, that's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Thank God, when we come back in the morning, we're going to have actual football to talk about. I suppose we'll continue to pay attention to test results for COVID, but we'll actually have some film and some football to break down and discuss. Joe, it makes me very happy.
Me too. We got a game reaction day on a Wednesday.
Don't have that happen very often. It's maybe the last
Can't
time.
Wait.
Hopefully this is the last time we're able to do this on a Wednesday. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. They'll continue with the Titans coverage for you. We'll be back tomorrow. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.